This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. It's only exercise. What's the harm? You're overthinking this completely. These are words that I'm sure our guest has heard many times, but he knows something that those speaking those words may not fully understand. Our guest is a firm believer in the text found in Proverbs 16:25 that reads, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." I'll let our guest state his case, and you, listener, can draw your own conclusions. Michael Austin is a communications consultant, in-demand speaker, and student of church history. But before he was any of those things, he was a very different person on a very different journey. Michael Austin, welcome to HeartWise.
Well, thank you, Charles. Good to be with you.
Our topic today is yoga, that seemingly innocent form of exercise that is growing in popularity worldwide. But you, Michael, see danger ahead. Why and how have you come to your conclusions?
You mentioned something that I think the audience should be very well aware of, and that is the popularity of yoga. Just last year, there was an article in USA Today that referred to the ancient practice of yoga now being a growth industry. And I was quite surprised to learn in that article that yoga now has the same popularity as golf in America. What we're talking about here is in excess of 25 million people practicing yoga, up from about 17 million in 2008. As popular as golf, that's pretty astounding. In fact, there's hardly a place you can think of where today you don't start encountering eventually yoga or things yoga, clothing, what's called exercise, and all kinds of things. In fact, yoga has gone through several different trends in America since I got involved with it way back in 1968.
And when you watch yoga go through these trends, and as you watch yoga spreading, what is the feeling in the pit of your stomach and why?
Well, there's tremendous regret. It catches my attention. As a believer, I'm extremely grieved. And the reason for that is yoga is anything but exercise. It's well established. It is part of Hinduism. And Hinduism is one of the most popular religions around the world. It has absolutely nothing to do with our Savior. It has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with our faith. I actually discovered when a pastor asked me to come and speak to his congregation about yoga. And by the way, when he did that, I refused. I did not want to go there, Charles. I just did not want to go there. And I said, nope, not interested in doing that. Sorry, just don't want to go back to thinking about that. And he said to me, "Michael, I think that this is a part of your testimony. I think you should really seriously consider that." And you know what? In that moment, the Holy Spirit convicted me to say yes. I said, yes, I will do that. And I did sit down for a couple of weeks and do a pretty thorough study, all to say that I discovered that it is something that is in the Bible. That's where my research led me.
Sure.
I went to Scripture, and I believe that the Father led me to a study and to discover yoga in the Bible.
You know, of course, we want to present on this program, HeartWise, those things which are good for the mind, body, and spirit. Is yoga good for any of those things?
I don't believe it is. Yoga fits into a very disciplined structure of practice, religious practice, to condition and prepare oneself for essentially mindlessness. What I mean by that is Hindu meditation is not so much contemplating God. And by the way, the gods that Hinduism worships are not the gods of our Bible. It is the idols that were worshipped by Abraham before he left the Ur of Chaldees. It is the idols that the Pharaoh and others in Egypt were worshipping. And it is the idols and the religions of the Promised Land that our Heavenly Father admonished and told his chosen people not to worship those gods, not even to mention their names. So we Christians need to be aware of what it is that we're doing. And by the way, most Christians are going to naturally turn away from yoga because their spirit, if they have the Holy Spirit, their spirit is going to move them. I believe that firmly because I simply cannot be around it. And many Christians who I've spoken to have said to me, you know, I felt that there was something wrong about it. And indeed there is.
Michael, when you were involved with yoga big time, I mean, you went to India. I've talked to you before on this thing. You went searching for contemplation and peace and all that kind of stuff. Did you have a feeling in the pit of your stomach then that there was something wrong? How did you come to the conclusion that this is not the direction I want to be going with my life?
Well, at that time in my life, I was 22 years old. It was 1967, 1968. We're talking almost 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was lost as a ball in high grass. Mm-hmm. I had no idea of the Christian faith. I was not raised in a Christian home. I was in college. I was going to film school in California. I was drawn there after watching the movie A Hard Day's Night by the Beatles.
Okay.
And that was a part of what I think was at that time an invasion into our culture of change. What we're talking about today as change. What was being sought for in those days, and I'm talking about the hippie generation of which I was a part, that was a time when our gurus, so to speak, not just in actual Hindu Indian gurus coming to the United States, but also those in psychology and in social sciences, what they were preaching was a thorough change of civilization. In fact, I remember a chant that the students at Stanford were chanting in those days was, "Hey, hey, ho, ho, Western Civ has got to go." You can still see that on film of those days. What they were talking about was the complete overthrow of Western civilization. And I have since learned that the foundations of Western civilization was the Bible. And so they were throwing out our public schools. That was the zenith of the time in which our public schools were questioning the teaching of the Ten Commandments. The throwing out of the Ten Commandments out of the public school, out of the public square, that continues today. But in the 60s, that's when that movement was really in full swing.
We're going to take a short break right now, Michael, and be back with Michael Austin in just a moment. We're talking about yoga today, and there are dangers, he says, involved with it, and those dangers run deep, and they have run long. And we'll learn more about this from our guest today, Michael Austin, on our return, so stay right where you are.
I hurt my knee a few years ago and have considerable inflammation. Any suggestions? I'm Dr. James Markham here with your biblical prescription for life. Let's look at Mark 15:24. Therefore, I say unto you, what the things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall receive them. So prayer is a crucial ingredient for any aspect of our health. Other things that might help from the Bible: rest, water, nutrition, physical therapy. Inflammation can respond to things like ginger, almonds, and walnuts. If this helps, great. If not, a short term of medication might be needed. Well, the biblical prescription I want to start with for all health issues is a biblical prescription of prayer and believing in the healing power of God. If you have more questions, go to our website. That's heartwiseministries.org.
Somewhere in the world, someone needs healing. He or she has just spent a restless night fighting chronic illness or fear. Hope is fading. The future is dark. And then something amazing happens. They hear a radio program called Heartwise, or watch a television program called The Ultimate Prescription, or perhaps they stumble upon the website heartwiseministries.org, and suddenly, they realize that they don't have to be sick anymore. They can alter their lives through simple yet powerful lifestyle changes. Hope is renewed, and the fear and sickness subside. I'm Nick Evanson, production manager at Heartwise Ministries. This scenario takes place daily because of your support of this ministry. When you go to heartwiseministries.org and pledge your support, you're helping bring healing to a sick world through information and education. Your partnership creates a profound difference in the lives of people none of us will ever meet. Take a moment, bring healing to someone else in the world. Thank you.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Our guest today is communications consultant, in-demand speaker, and student of church history, Michael Austin. He's been talking about some of his history and what he went through as a young man back in the late 60s. A lot of people listening to this program will know exactly what we're talking about. It was a time of great change, and one of those changes was the introduction of something unique into this world, and that introduction included an exercise, and I use that word in quotes, an exercise called yoga. And Michael, as you moved through this and as you became involved in yoga, what were some of the first signs that told you this may not be the best for the health of my mind, body, or spirit?
I discovered 10 years after I got involved with a Indian guru, and I discovered that he was a liar. It instilled in me a huge doubt. And that was the start of about a four-year odyssey of extricating myself from this dangerous cult and getting myself out of it with my life. There were those who I knew, friends of mine. They did not escape it. They have disappeared, and I was very blessed to have escaped with my life.
Let's take a moment and unpack yoga. What exactly is it? How do we recognize it when we see it?
Well, yoga is a physical practice. What we think of as exercise, what people claim are exercise, are actually called asanas. One of the best translations of asana is a position, a posture. So the question is, what are these postures? Now, there's a very typical one that most people who are listening in today will recognize if they have taken a yoga class. There's a classic asana or series of positions. It's called Surya Namaskar, and it looks like exercise because you stretch high, lift your hands to the ceiling, you bend backwards, then you bend forward very devoutly. You bring your hands together in the middle of your chest. Then you stoop over, put one leg behind, and then the other leg behind you. And then bring those legs back up underneath you and stand again. Reach up back again to the sky or to the ceiling, and then bring your hands back down to your chest. It looks like exercise. But if you look at it carefully from a religious point of view, it's a series of prostrations, a series of bowing positions. And lo and behold, when I was asked to do some research about this, and I was thinking about this, I thought of the translation of Surya Namaskar. Namaskar, or namaste, it's almost entered now the lexicon of our language. Namaste is a gesture, and it's a recognition. It's a term given when you honor another person as someone who is God. You will see Indians, they place their hands together and they sort of give you a little bow to someone when they're greeting them. That is called namaskar. That's a holy greeting. You know, in the Bible, we're taught to give each other a holy kiss.
That's right.
Well, in the tradition and lexicon of Hinduism, this is a bow. You're acknowledging that the person that you're meeting is a form of God, that God is residing within that person and you're recognizing it. That's what Namaskar means. What does Surya mean? Well, Surya means the sun. Many yoga teachers will actually teach that series of postures and refer to it as the sun salutation. That's exactly what that Surya Namaskar means. And that, Charles, is sun worship. So we Christians, is this what we want to be doing?
Really?
Do we want to be practicing the prostrations to the sun, participating in the worship of the sun? Or do we want to worship our Heavenly Father and His Son, S-O-N, His beloved Son, mm-hmm. who is our Savior? I think that that's going to cause a Christian great pause.
You know, as I listen to you talk about this, and I know that there are listeners right now who are saying, again, what's the harm? So it's used to be worship of the sun. Well, it's just an exercise. There is a parallel in the health area, and I had to think long and hard about this before I invited you on to talk about this. And here's my conclusion, Michael. I know exactly, because of all the people I've talked to and all the doctors and the health professionals and the ministry I'm involved with, I know exactly what certain foods, what certain refined foods, what certain animal products do to the human body. And then I watch people eat those foods, and they're saying to me, hey, it's just food, it's just protein. But I know the backstory. I know the actual scientific stuff that's going on when they eat that. And so I have to be very diligent, and I have to be very careful of how I approach someone and say, you know, you really need to get away from the refined foods. You need to go with the plant-based diet. You need to let go of all the animal products and what out there. So I understand a little bit about what you're coming from here, because I understand more than most people understand, because I have had experience in talking with all these people. So I'm just saying to my listeners today, please listen to what Michael Austin is saying today, because he understands something that we may not. I know I didn't. When he started talking about yoga to me, I did not understand this thing. But I recognize that he came from an area of understanding, from a life of understanding, and I think we need to pay attention to him. Michael, if there is someone in our audience, and there probably are, there are people in our audience who are involved with yoga, what is the best way, the safest way, the most expedient way for them to back away from this practice and learn a new way of keeping themselves healthy?
A lot of people who practice yoga are not thinking about spiritual matters, mm-hmm. and they're not thinking of Hindu gods. They're thinking that they are doing some stretching exercises.
Right.
And frankly, the stretching exercise or the stretching movement, it's not exercise at all, but the stretching movement, there's little harm in that. However, what we're talking about really is syncretism. Now, syncretism is a word that many listeners may not be familiar with, but it's the mixing of two different things. And you'll find in the Bible that our Heavenly Father is not a fan of mixing things. In fact, even in the Old Testament, one of his commandments is to not mix the threads in your garments, even. I mean, to that extent. What that is, I think, is a picture of mixing things improperly. If you wanted to do an exercise and you want to do stretching, my goodness, there's all kinds of stretching exercise and athletics and sports and things that one can do. What comes to mind in terms of being very similar to yoga, actually, is the Pilates
yes.
system
yes.
of stretching and strengthening. Yoga is an integral part of Hinduism, an Eastern religion. It has nothing whatever to do with exercise. It has been attempted to be sold to Americans as a science. One of the early themes, and you mentioned these themes that yoga has gone through.
Yes.
The guru of the Beatles, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, he converted, if you will, he translated yoga into what he called a science and popularized it as a science. And we Americans, not really looking too closely at what we were doing, accepted this as science. And there are many other Indian gurus who have made this claim. Then it became exercise, and the science kind of went away because it didn't hold up. Now, what's very interesting, and as a matter of fact, it's mentioned in this USA article of last year, yoga is now a therapy. The latest theme is that yoga is a great therapy. Now, now we're really getting into danger.
Yes, yes.
It's one thing to go to a class and do some stretching and think that you're doing exercise, but now they are teaching Hindu meditation. They are teaching mysticism. They're teaching mind-body separation. All of these techniques, which are occult, this is witchcraft.
Yes.
This is blatant, in-your-face witchcraft. A lot of this is described, as a matter of fact, in 2 Kings 21, is the story of Manasseh rebuilding the high places. The children of Israel turned away from Jehovah God, and they followed their own ways, and they followed the religion of those other gods that he warned them about. Where did they typically go? They went to the high places. That's a theme in the Old Testament of rebuilding the high places and worshiping other gods. Now, why would they go to the high place? Well, the high place is the first place that you see the sun when the sun rises. It's also the last place where the sun doesn't hit the earth. In other words, if you're on the high place, you're getting maximum sun.
Right.
What were they doing there? They were worshiping Baal. Baal and Asherah, his consort. Baal, if you study the Bible, if you study the Hebrew, if you study the ancient religions of the Promised Land, you'll find that Baal is the sun god. This was an abomination to our God. This resulted in the exile of the Jewish nation from the Promised Land to Babylon. And now it's pervaded our culture in such a way that our values are changing, our focus is changing, our ethics are changing, our morals are changing before our eyes on a daily basis. And we're seeing abominations being celebrated. I can recall as a young man in the hippie generation, we were tearing down the traditional taboos.
Yes.
And one of the themes of that culture was to make taboo behavior normal, to make it a part of your life and not to be afraid of these things anymore that were considered taboos. Well, they were taboo for a good reason, because they are extremely dangerous. When my Heavenly Father got a hold of me, he changed my life. He showed me truth, and truth will set you free. And so I appreciate your analogy, because I believe that that's what you found in food that is good for you, and food that may taste good, may give you pleasure, may make you feel wonderful, but is actually a poison. And that indeed is what the children of Israel found at the high places. It was poison. It was destructive, and it destroyed the nation.
Wow. Michael Austin has been our guest today. His website, publishthegoodnews.com. If you want to learn more about Michael and some of the resources he has available, publishthegoodnews.com. Michael Austin, thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate your words of wisdom and guidance. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles. Good to be with you and your audience.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Michael Austin, inviting you to remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on Heartwise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.